Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
And welcome to the second AI Horror Podcast with me, Mal, and Maurizio.
Hello.
Hey, Maurizio. So, what are we talking about today?
So, I guess it is number two. It literally is the second podcast we're doing. But it's...
Not the second official one, right?
Yeah. I got kind of worried last time we did it, Mal, because we mentioned like 50 films each. We can't keep up that ratio for every single podcast because we have nothing to talk about. We're going to be like a couple of old guys who keep talking about the same film like the next month, like not realizing we've already talked about it. So we've got to keep a running score of what we mentioned, or we just need to wind it back a bit. Anyway,
yes.
So we are gathered here for something pretty special. Do you want to say what it is, Mel?
Yes. So yesterday, Maurizio and I went to a special screening of It. We're recording this on Thursday. You guys can see it from Friday, so tomorrow. Maurizio and I were very keen to watch this. We've had different backgrounds with It. My most recent memory of it was probably the miniseries. I read the book when I was a kid, and I don't remember the book in much detail, unfortunately. But we were very excited. There's been hype about this movie. The trailers have done well. I think one of the trailers got the most views on YouTube or something ever. There's been directorial changes. Pennywise actor changed. But there's been a lot of hype. And even Stephen King endorsed it. So, you know, we walked into this thinking, yeah, it'd be amazing. And the hype was there. Yesterday was a great day.
I mean, I certainly remember, like, what were we talking? When was the book released? Was it like 1986? Something like
TV
that.
TV miniseries. 1990.
No, the series, but the book, the actual.
Something like that. But yeah.
So I certainly remember seeing like the front cover and being mesmerized by that in like the W.H. Smiths or something. And then like, just having a look at the cover and a cheeky flick through the book and stuff. But I never really read the novel, and like a lazy kid at school, I've just crammed it in the last 4 or 5 days. It's an interesting story. I got to the end of it, and I can get on with my life as soon as we get this podcast out of the way. I didn't watch the series at that point.
Right.
At that point in my life, I wasn't much of a clown man. A couple of poor experiences as a kid. I guess one was seeing the film, I've forgotten the name already, man. Was it Killer Clowns from Outer Space?
Killer Clowns, yeah.
And I wanted to be scared, and I sat there and watched some gross-out comedy, and nah, didn't do it for me. Didn't enjoy it at all. I think it was more because I was wanting to be scared. That didn't do it. and then the real nail in the coffin was a little film called Clown House by convicted paedophile Victor Salva.
You've gone dark quickly, mate.
Made my dad rent it straight away, it's certificate 18, to watch it because I wanted to watch a clown horror. And it was kind of bizarre. I don't know if you've seen it, Mal, but I was pretty young when I saw it, and I knew something wasn't quite right with the way it was filmed. And I've never watched it since, but I can kind of guess what it was that I didn't quite get. It was all a bit weird, because I kind of watch these things and I like to follow the protagonist and I want to be him and all that sort of stuff. Like the thing that really sticks out is not horror, but Never Ending Story, like the kid in that. I was like, yes, he's so cool. Watching as a kid. Yeah. So having that mentality, bringing it into Clown House and then seeing the way that protagonist was portrayed on screen didn't sit right. And years later, you find out that he was, he got done for doing stuff on set for over in like a 6-year period. But anyway, so that was kind of it for clowns.
Yeah, and the thing with clowns on film is there's always a creepy clown somewhere in some films, right? I mean, I'm not going to start listing films like the last podcast, but clowns can be creepy because, and this is the thing with Pennywise as well, clowns. That give you that false sense of security. Yeah, I'm all right. I mean, mate, they're laughing, joking.
I appreciate
and they're always laughing.
Yeah, no, I certainly think that nowadays I'm kind of feel like I've missed out. I certainly wanted to be scared by clowns when I was younger, but I've seen stuff since then that's been pretty cool. I mean, there was don't know the name of the director, but Eli Roth produced it, the film Clown. Mm-hmm. That was pretty slick. I like that. Right. And I like the whole iconic image of the clown that's really friendly and all the kids love and trying to subvert that. I like the idea of it. And I think I really shot myself in the foot not watching it back in 1990, because a lot of people since then have always quoted it as being so scary and Tim Curry. I mean, it's like iconic and all that. But I mean, you tell me, man. You tell me.
Yeah. So I watched it when it's out back in the day. And I rewatched it again last week just to refresh my memory on it, because I had vivid memories of it as a kid. Because first things first, it's dated a bit. So if you watch it again, it kind of does date. But as a kid, the Tim Curry portrayal of Pennywise was exactly what it should have, what it needed to be. A clown that didn't look scary, that enticed into his thoughts and security and suddenly switched. And Tim Curry done that brilliantly. I'm not going to eulogize over Tim Curry's performance, because everyone has done and we know what he's done with that character. He's owned it and everything else. But it, because of him and because of the way Pennywise was portrayed, it was almost okay to be afraid of clowns. The movie itself or the TV miniseries itself needed that figurehead of and that sort of a performance. So when I watched it recently again, it dated a bit, but Tim Curry's performance didn't date at all. You know, on the face of it, he's just a normal clown. The makeup is very, very clown, very normal clown based. And then if you've seen the miniseries, you'll know that his voice changes as his character becomes more menacing. So initially, it's a normal happy voice. You know, it's a laughing, joking clown. And the kids fall for that. And then his voice goes gravelly and it changes. And suddenly you see it's become more sinister. Yeah. And that's the hook. When you watch it, so 1990, so I was 15, I think, 16, whatever it was, I don't know. But if you're that sort of age group or even younger, obviously, it does sort of think you'd get drawn into that. And this is what I wanted to see, how it portrayed in the movie. So having seen the miniseries, I was geared up.
Yeah, and then I did the cramming of the book, which I would have done over a longer period. I didn't actually realise it was like over a thousand pages.
Yeah.
So I don't think I would successfully be able to sit an exam on it. I might need some cliff notes next to me while I did it. But I did cover enough to appreciate how dark the book is. And going through this book, I'm thinking, some of this stuff, they're not going to be able to like, you know, it's a real exercise to sort of cover this stuff. I mean,
it's very dark.
I knew about the whole iconic clown thing, but I didn't really realize what was really being dealt with, and a lot of to do with like childhood trauma and memories that have been locked away that slowly come back to people. Yeah, it was really sort of big, powerful stuff. I thought it was just a giant clown running around.
And this is the thing. So obviously, you know, people have probably read it or seen the premiere series or know of it, and obviously it's Pennywise playing on the kids' fears. But I've not read the book in a long, long time. But just before we touch on the movie that we saw yesterday, the miniseries doesn't go dark enough for me, which obviously because it was made for TV, so it couldn't go dark enough. But from what you told me about the book, it's very dark. And I think playing on the fears thing with obviously reading the book is it's a book. You can write what you want, and you're not playing to any audience because you're buying the book with the given audience. Whereas TV or movie, you're playing to a certain rating and a certain audience. But yeah, from what you tell me, or comparing notes with you, the miniseries isn't that dark at all.
Yeah,
it's scary enough.
I appreciate that.
Something about
it. I appreciate it. Like, it was, you know, it's a TV movie. How bad is it going to be?
Exactly.
But in the same way, I'm also not one of these people to go, oh, any other interpretation of this book is never going to work. You know, he's got to be true to the book. No, I forget all that rubbish. I understand that the beats in the film, it has to flow. Mm. It has to be, things have to be cut out. Characters might have to go. So, you know, timelines might need to decrease or things change. And don't forget, it was written, late 80s, with its starting date being the 50s. And this brand new film is coming out now, 2017. Yep. So points of reference will shift a little bit to appeal to the audience. Cause, I think we could safely say that, where everyone's a kid, that area of time in the film is 1988, very fashionable. All the films are doing it. This retro 80s thing.
Yep.
In the book, it was the 50s. Yes. And no offense to the 50s, but who gives a shit, right now?
Well, yeah. And I think this is a good point to sort of, I say, good segue to talk about the movie for what we saw yesterday. Because,
yes,
we know it's set in the 80s. The kid from Stranger Things is in the movie.
It makes it officially 80s, Mal. You get the Stranger Things kids, you get the 80s stuff.
Exactly. You know, they're on BMXs and stuff. We've seen the trailers and promos. Going to the movie, we got there, we sat down, the hype was there, and straight away, it grabs you because there's a sinister tone at the start, the iconic scene with the rain falling down and that sort of thing, you know, it's there and it sets the scene and you know what to expect.
Tell you, man, I was pretty. I can't really remember if I was scared or excited because I was sort of quite fresh with the book. And I was waiting for some set pieces and thinking, how bad is it going to go? And then it delivers.
Yes.
And I was just went, whoa. And, you know, like you said, Mal, that opening bit, that's where it sets its marker. Because if you notice the credits roll up after the first section, it then comes up. It's like announced. It's here.
And that's what it does best because obviously, it's playing on the fact that people know what it's about. It's not a new story, right? So it's sort of saying, how do you introduce it better? And it's a subtlety, but it's there in your face. And I think the first thing I need to say about the movie, obviously, we're going to keep this podcast spoiler-free, but first thing I'm going to say about the movie is much darker than the TV miniseries. And I walked away thinking, wow, it's gone there, and it's touched on a lot of subjects that it probably couldn't touch on the miniseries. And it covers a lot. The character of Pennywise is darker to a degree. I'm not going to spoil it for anybody by saying comparing what his performance, because you make your own judgment on it. But I think it's dark enough for the way the movie's made. The music is good. The soundtrack's it's gripping enough. But it's made for that audience.
That thing you mentioned, Mal, about Pennywise in the TV series, you said he could talk one way and then it switches.
Yes.
I thought this guy, was his name Bill Skarsgård?
Bill Skarsgård,
I thought that stuck out to me as well. Like that he could.
Yeah, he could.
Really sinister, but in a sentence, it could start off all jolly and then it switches.
It does, and I think I didn't take to his voice straight away, only because I think I was too excited at the start of the film, so I didn't even focus on what he was saying. I was just looking at his face, thinking, wow. You know, the makeup, the eyes. It was different. Obviously, we've seen the trailers and the pictures, so we know it's different from Tim Curry's portrayal.
Right.
And I was just taking all that in. So the voice didn't even register to me first off, and I was just like, "Wow, you know, he's there in the gutter and stuff." But then, yeah, his voice grows on you through the film because it is that dark, gravelly voice. You know, it talks to you. That smile. You know, and the thing is that smile. He talks to you with a smile on his face, and it's sinister enough, man, because he's talking to you, there's a smile on his face, but his voice is sort of saying, I want to just, you know, do all sorts. And that's done really well, I've got to say.
Yeah, let me just pull up a picture of his face, because I was going to say something. I thought, don't say it if it's not true.
The eyes.
The appearance. Well, yes. I mean, that is obviously the first thing. Is it piercing yellow eyes from the darkness? That's definitely in the book. It definitely makes a point of saying that. But and also what's covered and what I kind of like, but I think it's in both of them, is the sort of the makeup, the sort of the red lipstick. But it's done in a way to make it look like, wait a minute, is that lipstick, or has it just been feasting on flesh? And it's just like,
Because there's a lot of drooling in the film. Again, no spoilers here, but there's drooling, and I think that almost is that gives that feasting kind of, you know, salivating over what you can do portrayal. And again, make your own mind over it. I'm trying to not want to say too much, but you get that sense. And you know, the way he speaks, his mouth is almost, it's a really good portrayal. Look out for it. Look out for the way his mouth is just positioned, even. And where he's, you know, it's really, really, you know, like I said, first part of the film was mesmerized by the look, because I didn't even focus on the voice enough. So there's a lot there to just grab you first off.
Was there, I know in this film, obviously it's red balloons. That's the thing, red balloons. In the TV, was it red or was it?
Yeah.
Oh, it was red balloons.
And the TV, to be fair, the iconic moments are pretty much the same in the miniseries as well as it is with the movie, in terms of again, no spoilers, but we know about the scenes with the blood gushing everywhere and that sort of stuff. There are some stuff that isn't in the movie. I won't say which. You can learn that for yourself. But the iconic stuff's there. What I found also here with the movie version, when we saw it, was it not only went dark very quickly. There's you know, you'll notice what I mean when I say this. It goes dark pretty much straight away. It also stays that way, you know. There's no sort of like toing and fraying. The miniseries was there was a lot of flashbacks, so it was the adults at first off, then the flashbacks to the kids, and a lot of toing and fraying. This version focuses purely on the kids, so it's obviously a two part, as we know, as the miniseries is two parts, as the book is. So it's focused on the kids side of things first, and it really does go there and stay dark throughout.
Do you remember watching Conjuring 2?
Yeah.
I kind of felt that it was kind of like that, because Conjuring 2 sort of, it goes at such a pace, it feels like throughout the whole film it doesn't sort of let up, and I felt this one does it well. And it's important it does so, and it's quite amazing it does it, because it weighs in at 2 hours, 10 minutes. I mean, that's...
Yeah, it didn't feel like it, man.
You know? I know, yeah, it's... I thought they did it really well. I'm really excited about this. I mean, it's big budget, mainstream... Yes. And like I said, sitting there thinking, how much of the book's in it? How much of the book's in it? And then thinking, wow, they've gone for it. And thinking, that's going to, you know, I hope people go out and see this movie, and it's going to like pull them to the dark side, pull them closer to horror, you know, get things, you know, spice it up a bit.
Totally. And I will say this, you know, keep your eyes peeled. There's lots of, not Easter eggs, but things there that, if you've seen the book, or if you've seen the miniseries or read the book, you'll notice stuff. So do keep your eyes peeled. There's lots to look out for.
You're definitely right, mate. You know, like how Fight Club has those little scenes. Like when you watch it 500 times, you're like, oh yeah, it's really obvious it's there, there, and there.
Yeah.
But the very first time, it all goes over your head. Well, it does for me, because I never spot these things in the background. I definitely saw something in the background, and because I'd read the book, not because that, you know, something is written in the book and it happens on screen. It wasn't like that at all, just because of the tone of it, and you kind of knew something was up, and in the background you can see something, you're like, oh my god. But I'll probably watch again now, and it's not there.
Totally. And there was a lot, even the obvious stuff, so the 80s references are all there, you know. You'll notice stuff in the background. There's a kid playing Street Fighter on an arcade, that sort of stuff. There's cinema titles of all movies that are on at that time. So there's lots of good references that makes it topical to the 80s,
yes.
But also rise that 80s wave that, you know, things like Stranger Things are running on. I mean, the 80s things have been going on for about 3 or 4 years now. I think Stranger Things have probably marketed it better. But that wave has been going on for a while now. I think even soundtracks were very synth-based a while back. So this is just playing onto that.
Certainly the right stuff there, Mal.
Yeah, definitely the right.
Okay. So
That's a joke for the read. Watch the movie and then come back to this point of the podcast, and then you can laugh with us.
Not really. It's not that great. That's really lame.
I'm laughing, mate.
All right. Yeah, but people go back and go, that Mauricio, what the hell is he doing? Come on, man. Your mate, is it Mark?
Yeah.
The Street Fighter expert.
Yes.
Came up with an interesting, he spotted, what would you call it, a mistake?
On the arcade machine.
Yeah. You remember it, right? You weren't drunk, were you?
No. I had one drink. No, I'm trying to think, is it spoilery or not?
What? It was an 80s reference. It doesn't advance the...
All right. So my mate spotted this, and I want to watch it again to make sure if he's right or not. But he spotted the fact that apparently one of the kids is playing an arcade game, playing Street Fighter. And the arcade box is a Street Fighter 2 box, but he's actually playing Street Fighter 1 on the game. So keep your eyes peeled for that one. If you can verify that, please tweet us as normal places and let us know. I need to rewatch that and work that if it's there. But that's one little thing to keep an eye out for you.
I thought that was quite funny. That was.
So, yeah, the other thing I wanted to touch upon also was the way with the role of the kids, because in the book, I'm sure it's evident, and in miniseries it was evident, but in this film, it's all about the kids. One of my reviews on Twitter and Facebook was that it was Goonies and Stand By Me meeting Nightmare on Elm Street, and that's probably a good way of pitching it to somebody who was going in semi-blind to say, you know, I've not read the book, I've not really watched the miniseries, I've heard a lot of hype, what can I expect? Because the kids do really focus, are still the focus in a good way. Because Pennywise is the sort of character where it always in the shadows. And I think the movie does that well. The kids become a good focus. The kid from Stranger Things is great.
Yeah, I'm not sure at first about Kevin in, because, you know, you think, oh, it's a bit Stranger Things, isn't it? Bring him in. he's good now. He's good.
So I think isn't that because the Duffer Brothers, who originally wanted to direct it, but weren't given a job because they weren't established enough, apparently, from what I read somewhere.
I really enjoyed Stranger Things. I'm definitely looking forward to that second series.
Yeah. So maybe because of that, there's a link there with them trying for it, and then the kid worked out, and then I don't know. But maybe it's something there, I don't know. But no, that's a good focus. So look out for the performances of the kids and give us your feedback on what you thought of the kids' roles and some of the roles played, not only by the kids in Stranger Things, but a couple of the roles really done well. I think the role of Bill was played quite well.
I was impressed with Beverly Marsh, the character. Are you played by Annette O'Toole, I think? No, I'm not. I'm at the wrong... No, it's not Annette O'Toole. I'm in the Sophia wrong Lynch. Series, mate.
But yeah, she... So
dig me out, man. Who am I thinking of? Sophia Lillis.
Yes, Sophia Lillis is the person. I don't know who you mentioned.
I mentioned someone from the 1990 TV.
Any reference would do. But no, her role was great. She acted really well, and I think she captured that quite well. Again, there's a really good.
Was that covered in the TV series though? Was the female,
not really
storyline covered not there? Really. Because it's not quite really. Big in the novel.
But they couldn't because of, again, what the novel covers and the background of her and her household and her environment. They couldn't really cover it on TV, but it's covered much more in the movie. Yeah. So, but she played a really good role, and I think her acting, you know, for what it was quite strong. In the mini series, also it's again because it's made for TV, it almost gives you a touch of it, so you can't really touch on the subjects. Whereas the movie, it's like bang, here you go, right? So I think that worked really well for me. The other thing I liked about the movie also that we saw yesterday, was how much it absorbed you into the movie. So you're watching it, you're on this ride, and it is a constant ride. It doesn't slow up. It didn't slow down. You know, up until even the end, you know, you're with this ride and you're with these kids, and, you know, you're going through the woods and stuff. You're on the bikes with them. You're everywhere with them. And I think the movie does well in taking on that ride taking you on the ride with them. Whereas, you know, some movies do have that lull period in the middle of a movie. There was no quiet period. There was no bit where there's, you know, you let up and think, right, okay, they could have cut it there or could have edited it better. I think the editing was good. because it seemed fast paced. I'm sure people probably would have thought, actually, Mal, no, I felt like I was there for 3 hours. But for me personally, it didn't feel like it was, you know, it needed speeding up.
Yeah. I don't really recall if I felt it dragged. So I don't think it did. And it sort of ended at a nice point, because the in the actual novel, I don't know if this is in the TV series, it's actually time jumps a lot. So it tells two stories like 27 years apart at the same time.
Yeah.
And the film, as you know, exclusively looks at just the childhood portion of the story.
Yes.
Is that how it's done in the TV series?
No. In TV series, it's similar to the book, so it flips a lot.
Yeah.
So it's basically in the TV series, Pennywise comes back. One of the kids who is now an adult knows Pennywise has come back through a missing poster.
All right, spoiler man. All right.
No. That's the TV series, mate. It's the book. Yeah. It's different than the movie. So obviously, you know, it's what it is. But yeah, so that's what happens. And then they flip flop between the two eras.
I understand why they do that. And the fact that the film has decided to go a different route makes me wonder what. Obviously, some compromises have had to be made for the second section because of the way the story is told. And it'd just be interesting to know, you know, when we finally see see how it's portrayed. You know, it becomes a bit different.
I think the way it's done is probably a good way of handling it for the movie audience, because it's almost like, here's one story, digest it, take it in for what it is, and it's the second story, and the adults, you know, as we know, dealing with Pennywise. And I think that's probably a good way of approaching it for the way it is. Otherwise, it would have been a remake of the miniseries, I mean, I found that the way it was handled, the kids being the main focus, and the movie being the main focus from the child, that children's era probably played well to this whole 80s Stranger Things kids, you know, vibe going on right now as well. And I think that's probably why, maybe that's why I did it as well, because it ties in well with what's sort of the current trend.
Yeah, I was just really excited when I was thinking, right, you know, it's not often you see a film where children die and you're like, they're going to go there, aren't they? They're going to go there. Oh, wow, they are going for it. So, yeah.
Let's not mess about. This, like I said, it goes, it's dark and it stays dark, and it's what you expect. Now, I will say this.
It's how I like my films.
Well, yeah, totally. But I will say this. I mean, like we covered him last podcast. I don't get scared much. I didn't get scared by this one either. However, you and I are talking. You know, we're for want of a better word, hardened horror movie goers. So not a lot scares us anyway.
Yeah,
but I think the average fan will jump at bits and parts, and there will be bits where, if you're not a hardened horror fan or generally not a person that watches a lot of horror films, but want to go and check out the hype, there are bits that will scare you, and there are bits where you'll think, "Well, I didn't bet that." So yeah, it's scary, but obviously, you know, we're at the other end of the spectrum, you and I.
I can't really remember if I was scared, like I said earlier, scared or excited when I was watching it. But there was enough in there, man. I liked it.
Don't get me wrong. I mean, like I said, I haven't been scared since, like I said in the last podcast, since I was a kid. So maybe I'm just dead inside, I don't know. But for that reason, it was good. But I think looking at it from looking back at it, there's definitely, you know, if I took some members of my family or my friends who don't watch horror films, they look, let's watch it. They'll think, "Mal, what the hell?" And they'll all get scared. So there are bits there that will scare you. And I think that's done well, because they're not cheap scares either. You know, they're good scares. They're done well. And like I said, because it is such a dark film, and in the way it's shot, the scares are good. They're not cheap, but there's also stuff there that will want more. Especially the way the film ends. It's great the way it's done. It's scary enough, but you know, you almost want, oh man, can I watch part two now? So I think that's done really well. I mean, like I said, I really liked it. You know, I really liked the film, the way it was done. I didn't walk out thinking, oh, they didn't really do well. I think they nailed most of it. They nailed the soundtrack was good in terms of what it tried to portray, how it tied up with the film. The acting was on point. Pennywise as a character. I think I personally prefer the Tim Curry version.
Ooh.
Just because the way I like the fact that Tim, and again, there's no spoilers because we've seen the pictures of the current Pennywise. Tim Curry's Pennywise was a normal ghost. Oh, sorry, a normal clown to start off with, and he became sinister.
Yeah,
which was I think the hook for me because oh yeah, nice happy clown. Oh no, he's not. He's gonna scare the shit out of
him. He's a happy clown. Whereas, this one though, what are you talking about? He was for five seconds.
But the makeup is still the makeup is still dark. So
in that first conversation with the kid, he does that thing where he switches, and I thought. Right, that was be the point where I'm just running off, and then the end credits are rolling up because that's the end of the film. I'm the kid. I don't die. I run off.
Yeah, yeah. And that's the thing. So for me, why I like the Tim Curry version was because of the fact that he was a normal looking clown, as far as normal looking clowns go, and then became sinister, the razor sharp teeth, and it was like bang, I'm in your face. Whereas the current Bill Skarsgård version, or whatever it is. He's already dark there, already there,
yeah.
And it's already sinister looking. Well, and then you're on that with him. And I think that was why I preferred Tim Curry's look. The way he portrayed the role, I think he done really well. Again, it's a different sort of thing. You know, Tim Curry had to do a lot more with that role because being made for TV, you couldn't really scare the TV audience. So you had to rely on Tim Curry to do the scares. Whereas here, you can do a bit of both.
Have you got this on DVD?
Yeah, you want to borrow it?
Yeah, I want it. you got Kindle, right?
I have, yes.
Yes, because I'm allowed to share my copy of it with one person. So
there you go.
Yeah, you get me the DVD, I'll send you the book, and we'll cover them, and I'll reread the book properly with plenty of time. And
sounds good.
For the follow-up film, then I'll know the story properly. And then we can really talk about it when we know what the hell we're talking about.
Yeah, and look, we don't want to make this an hour podcast, so we are going to wind up pretty soon. But I just wanted to sort of touch base on what we thought of it, how we were with it, what our thoughts were initially on it. Trying to keep it spoiler free as we can. You know the story of it, and you know where it works. You know, it's every 27 years, blah blah blah. Interesting fact on that, the original miniseries was out in 1990, and this remake is, bizarrely enough, 27 years later. Exactly.
Really?
it really is, honestly. So, so that's a good little tie-in. Whether that's intentional, I don't know. I'm hoping it was intentional. It's the hype, believe the hype, because I think you're in for a treat with watching a movie. I think you're in for a treat in the way I was on the journey in the movie. I don't know, Richie, if you agree on any of that, in terms of, you know, we're not just liking the film for the sake of liking the film. You know, if it was shit, I would have said that, you know what, they'd ruined it. But I think that they've done justice to the storyline. Stephen King endorsed it, for God's sake. So, you know, he must know something. So I think it's worth checking out. You know, do go and see it. Do go and, you know, spend that money. Don't torrent it or something like that. Spend that money. Go and see it in a big screen. And the music. We'll grab you as well. It's sinister. It's good. It's dark, and it'll take you on that ride.
Do you think this thing has got much legs as a franchise? Because obviously there's a second part. I felt there is plenty of backstory that there was only touched upon that would be prequel territory.
If I have another origin story to deal with, mate, I'm just going to stop watching movies for about a year. I don't want it.
You're referring to... No, right, we can talk about that.
Because you're right. There's loads of backstory to cover. You know, there's loads in it to cover. But leave it, man. It's, you know, that's the whole point. Like a book. A book is there for your own interpretation.
Have we ever seen a decent prequel? I'm just trying to think.
Let's do that for another podcast. Have we seen a decent prequel? That'd be a great podcast.
Yeah.
So I think we know there's another one coming because obviously that's the way the story is told. So there'll be another part coming with the adults.
I don't know, mate. I think the way they presented it was, if you don't know the story, then it was gonna, that was a, I mean, I think it was meant to be like a special thing at the end. Look out for the second one, which we've already sort of spoiled for everyone who hasn't seen already.
Just give me that anyway. I mean, it's on the media. It's on. You can Google it enough. If you look at enough links, it'll tell you there's another one coming out anyway. There's talk of the there was some talk with the actors, the child actors, asking them who they want the elder or the adults to play. So it's definitely there.
All right.
It'll take enough money to make the second one, so it's not a problem there. But they should stop. there should be no entertainment of anything after that, or any prequels or origin stories or a random third one for the sake of it because they want to make some more money. Just leave it as two. Don't ruin it.
There's always, where there's a chance of making money, they're always going to mine it.
Yeah, I know, but if they do, then we'll just trash it on the podcast. How about that?
I don't know, man. I just think it's just slightly different because the source material is so large and varied that there is scope.
There's always scope, mate. There's always scope to cock up as well, right? There's always scope for someone to sort of say, "I'll take it on board and totally ruin it." Leatherface, no bones about my opinion on that one. But it is what it is, right?
True.
Now let's see. I think it's going to be good. I think yeah. Go out and see it. Just tweet us later to what you think. We've already tweeted a bit about what we think of it already. It's very 80s, you know, very, very Nightmare on Elm Street meets, like I said, Goonies, Stand By Me, that sort of stuff. I think it's a good movie to go out and just, you know, be scared by if you're easily scared, or if you're not scared, see if you can scare you.
Guess anyway. Yeah, because I, after seeing that preview, I definitely want to get out and see it again. And I want to own it as well. And I want to own it as a box set with any other future films that come out with it, because I think it's going to be the beginning of something big. Because I was just blown away by it, mate. I thought it was that.
I agree. I was very much walking out thinking, oh, I'm so glad I saw this. And you know what? In some sort of conceited way, I'm glad I saw it first, as in before it came out on release. And that sounds bad saying that, but I'm just glad I've just got it and done, and I've seen it, and I'm glad I've seen it, and I've seen it for most people.
Sure.
In a weird sort of way, you know, because
I can talk now. You can do a podcast about it.
Well, yeah, that too. But, you know, I can just sort of say I've seen it now and it's good. And, you know, everyone else, and I can talk about, oh, what do you think about the movie? And that sort of stuff. Yeah. So now it's good, mate.
But I think you're sincere because you didn't get any freebies this time. It's usually, I'm thinking, yeah, if you're sat there
I got a free drink out of them.
Giant T-shirt going, I loved it. And I'm like, did you really?
Yeah, exactly. But yeah, look, so we just wanted to do a quick podcast on it itself. We wanted to keep it spoiler free. So we've rambled on a bit. We've talked about some stuff just to sort of give you a feel for what our thoughts on it were. With versus what we saw, but we didn't really want to talk too much about what we saw, so we can make our own mind up about it.
Yes,
we'll you know, obviously this is our second podcast, probably second or not the continuation of the next one, but there'll be another one out soon. Obviously keep an eye on our Twitter handles. Mine, the main horror podcast channel, is AI Horror Pod, and mine is Mal Jutley, and yours is at Reyes, right?
Yeah. Yes, it is.
So, yeah, we'll be tweeting about this. It should be out for you to listen to tomorrow. If it's not, then our lovely editor
I told you before the podcast, Mal, don't say tomorrow, because they're just it doesn't mean anything.
All right, Friday. So it should be out. You should be able to listen to it on Friday. Now, which Friday? I didn't say. But.
Yeah. This is just getting worse. Right, Friday the 8th of September, yes, 2017.
Yes, you should listen to it, and then let us know what you think. Let us know if you saw the film on Friday or Saturday, what you thought of it. If the podcast was good, let us know.
Then you should definitely go out and see it, because then you go, whoa, Mauricio Mal recommended it. I went and saw it, and I bloody loved it. So
this thing, because we recommended it, not because it has actually been really, really marketed well, and there's a lot of hype behind it.
Yeah, I didn't hear anything about that. All I know is I saw this little film, and I think it was bloody great.
Good stuff. All right, well, let's call it a night, mate. So thank you for listening, everyone. Again, you know, let us know what you think. Just give some feedback on where we've been. Still our second one. So we're still learning as we go along. I think I've slowed down in my speech from last time. I was rambling a hell of a lot last time, so I'm still going on like a 100 miles per hour.
Still going, man. Yeah, you haven't learned yet. We'll cover
I'll get there, mate. By podcast 100, I'll be all right.
Oh, great.
Good stuff. All right, everyone. Thanks for listening. Mauricio, thanks again, mate.
Yeah. All right, mate. All right.
All right, and we'll catch you next time.
Yes.
Cheers. Thank you, everyone. Bye-bye.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found.
LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.